So we are on Pei Hei Amud Aleph. We left off at Rava Amar. 9 lines from the top. Rava Amar. We had a question. We had a stira, where it seemed to be a stira, between our Mishnah, which said that if Kohanim and Leviim, if a guy takes a neder, right, a konam, that he's not going to give any manas kuna, so they can go take it themselves, bar korcham, right? And then we had a brisa that said that if someone would steal, and then we said kohanim elu, so then other people, you know, can take it, but they can't. So we were trying to understand, like, what's going on here. And basically, we wanted to argue maybe this is a question of whether we assume that Tuvas Hanah is Mammon or not, right? Or there's a certain sense, at least, that there's, like, a Tuvas Hanah there when it comes to the Manas Kuhuna or not. And we brought this other case, and we rejected it. So the Rav is trying to give another explanation now for this seeming stira between the two cases of the Mishnah itself. How do you understand that in certain cases, when he says no quantum levium can get benefit, that they can take a bar korcham, they can just come to grab it. And on the other hand, quantum levium elu, so then they can't get those quantum levium, can't get benefit, they have to give it to somebody else. So what's happening here? So Rava gives his own explanation now. So Rava Amar Shiny Truma, the Hainu Taima de Yitlu al Korcho, Yishim the Truma lo Chazi el Lakohanim. So Rava says, I'll tell you why the Mishnah says, right, that Kohanim, that if you knock out all Kohanim and all Leviim, that they can take a bar korcho. That's because Truma can only be eaten by Kohanim, right? And since the Truma can be eaten only by a Kohen, Kevin the Ka'as le Misra Alayu Shave Afra Ba'ama. When the owner of the produce says, no Kohen can get benefit from this Truma, so what are you doing? You're making it, you know, forbidden to everybody, basically. In which case, you're now making it like Hefker, right? Because this guy himself can't get benefit. So you've made it like ownerless in a certain sense, because nobody's able to get to use it, right? And because of that, you've now created a situation where it's basically like we said, like Hefker. Take a look at the Mefarish here. Take a look at the Ran. We're in the skinny lines, 7 lines in the bottom of the skinny lines. Rav Amar Shani Truma, is right? It's at the beginning of the line. Rav Amar Shani Truma, Klomar, Kula Masnis and Isla Tuvas Hanah Amon, right? We had this question. Maybe it's a Machlokes. Is the Tuvas Hanah that you get when you get to decide who to give it to, does that count as like, does that have a value or not? So Rav says, stop with no Machlokes. Every opinion in the Mishnah believes that Tuvas Hanah is Mammon, right? V'seifa nicha, in the end of the second case of the Mishnah, makes sense, right? When we said Kohanim Elu, Levim Elu, right, can't get it, then what? Then someone else can get it. Why? Because he still gets to choose, because Tuvas Hanah is Mammon, I still get to decide where it goes, right? So v'seifa nicha, the seifa works out fine, the Kohanim Elu Yitlu Acherim, right? Because if I said these Kohanim can't get, no problem, I'm allowed to give it to other Kohanim. Right, and I'll choose who to give them to. Fine, but Reisha. But what about in the Reisha? We said if I say all Kohanim can't get, it's forbidden to all of them. Then why? But they can come take it. They can take a bal korcham. Why is that? So Reisha, hani tama diyitlu bal korcham mishum de truma lo chazi el la kohanim. She efshal litna the Yisrael. You can't give it to anybody else, right? You can't give it to a regular zar, to a non kohen. Hilkach kevin de misre alayu, right? Since you are now forbidding it on. You can't actually forbid it to Al Kohanim, but you tried to forbid it to Al Kohanim. Shavi Afra, you made it like Hefka, basically. The Afkar la he tuvas hanah she yesh lo ba. Meaning at that point, it's not that because what did it sound like? It sounded like our first case in the Mishnah seems to imply, or let's say our second case, where he forbade it to certain Kohanim, other Kohanim, you can give it to other Kohanim, right? So, and those first Kohanim that you forbade it to can't collect it. Sounds like I get to choose. And the Tehillah Sanah is like my choice, and it has a value that I get to determine what to do with it. But the ratio sounds like there is no value to my choice, and they can just come to collect themselves as if my choice doesn't matter. And the answer is no. Everyone agrees that you do get a choice, and that your choice has value, right? Oh, so why in the first case can they just come take it against your will? Because you were mafkir. Right? Even though usually it's your choice, once you forbid it to every coin, you're basically saying you don't want the choice anymore, right? Because you're doing something that you're not supposed to do with it, which is to forbid it to every coin, which you can't do. At that point, you're basically saying that you're giving up your option of being able to do so, because you're trying to do something that you can't do with it. It's almost like you pushed it so hard, it like blew up in your face, and now becomes becomes totally hefker, right? So that's why in that case, so don't tell me this whole machlokes, this whole ratio and the seifa, it's two different authors, and they've been and it's a machlokes. Whether you hold to us or not, it's mammon or not. No. Everyone agrees to us, don't mammon. Everyone agrees that. The only difference is that when you come to ask the whole thing, all kohanim from that truma, you now lose your opportunity to do anything with it. You make it hefker, and that's how they can come take it. Fine. Okay. Fine. So that's the end of that conversation. Fine. So says the Mishnah as follows: Konam nukes. Konam she'eni osa api abba ve'api avicha ve'api achi ve'api achicha. Okay. She says that I'm not going to get benefit from my father, from your father, I'm not going to give benefit, right? I'm not going to give benefit, yeah. So because the Ran says here, two lines from the bottom, Konam shani osa al pi abba, ma shani osa, it's a funny language, ma shani osa yehe lefi abba ba konam, meaning what I do will be forbidden to my father's mouth, what money that I make, basically. My father can't get benefit. So my father can't get benefit, meaning my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, all these people can't get benefit from me, so as talacha, he can't take it. He can't do hafara. Why can't he do hafara? Because she's not asking anything to herself, right? It's not a yidrei nefesh, and it's not the varmish b'nei lebeinah. I mean, he might feel bad because like he wants his father to get hana, but it's not b'nei lebeinah, right? It's not about the relationship. She hasn't asked herself for anything, right? Take a look at the run. Ain yachal hafara de ain elu nidri in a nefesh. It's neither. It doesn't fall into the category. So the it sounds like at this point he can't be made fair in the nether is chal, right? In such a case, so she forbids any benefit that she creates, right, to any of these people who are her relatives and his relatives, but in terms of their relationship with her. So he ainu yachal hafer. Fine. Shani osa apicha, and if he says she says that. Basically, that he get anything that I get, he can't get benefit. Her husband, yafer. Eno tzarech lafer. He doesn't have to be mefer. Why does he have to be mefer? So take a look at the mefarish. She'eni osa laficha ain tzarech lafer. The lo amra klum. The lav kol kmine lafkuye labal ma de zachir leirachmana. Meaning the halacha is, we've said this before, mashakansa yishakana ra, kanabaila, or in general, when she makes money, so the money technically goes to her husband. Why? Because the husband has responsibility to take care of his wife. So if she makes some extra money, that money goes to the husband technically. Fine. So when she says, no, what I make, I take a net and you can't get benefit. I take a kodim, you can't get benefit from it. You can't do that. It's a nether on mashakasa patara. You can't take a nether that. That's something that happens halachically according to the Torah. That doesn't happen. It does happen. Sorry. So the point is that he doesn't forget being able to be mefer. Doesn't have to be mefer. It doesn't work. Fine. Rabbi Kiva Omer Yafer. Rabbi Kiva says no. He should go ahead and can be mefer. Why? Shema ta'adif alav yosem minaroi. What's the concern? Maybe she'll make more money than she is expected to give to him from what she makes, right? And if there's more money there, what's going to happen? So then the amount that's extra that he's not zocha to, that he doesn't belong to him, now that will become us to her, right? To him, Rabbi Kiva Omer, take a look at the Mefarish. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yafir Shemetadi Falav Yosim in Rai. Can I remember Zechas Ksubis? Because the Marat said Ksubis, Paragraph Api. Umahi Osalo, Mishka Chamesh Slime. Mishkash Chamesh Slime Shasi Biyehuda, Shehin Esther Begalil. Right? There's a certain amount of money, basically, that she's required to make for him. Right, that she if she makes that amount of money, that he gets to take it. Right, v'amosar shalah, but whatever's extra belongs to her. V'osah hadafa shema adefes, and that extra that she makes over and above this first amount, hol v'shalahi oseres alav im lo yafer. So that amount shitaka can't be made for if she can be asked to him if he's not made for. So Rekiva says, what do you mean? Eino tzarich lafer. Not true. He should be mefer, because otherwise, if she makes extra, she's going to ask her that amount. Fine. Yochanan ben Nuri Yamar. Let's go back in the Mishnah for a second. Yochanan ben Nuri Yomer Yafer. He should be mefer. Why? Shema Yirgashena v'tihi asura alav. Yochanan ben Nuri goes even further. He says she has to take this. He has to be made for the standard. Why? Because if she makes more, that could create a situation that if he would divorce her, that he would be forbidden to take her back. How's that? What is that? What is her asking the money on her husband mean that in some way he would now be forbidden to remarry her? Why would that be true? Take a look at the Mefarish. She explains as well. Yochum and Nuri Omer, and this is going to be an important concept that's going to be necessary for the rest of this Gemara. So he says, Lahachi Afer. I'll tell you why she should be made for, why the husband should be made for. I'll tell you why. Shema Yigarshena, because maybe at some point he divorces her. Utehe asur lachzer lo, and she'll be forbidden now to return to him. Why? The osa malacha sha'osa acher agerishin, when she does malachos after their divorce, kishetavo birshuso aser, but osa malacha. So what did she do? She forbade herself. She forbade any malacha that she does, any money that she makes, anything that she does, become forbidden to her husband, right? So while they're married, you could say, okay, so then, you know, she doesn't have a choice. She doesn't have an option to do so because they're married and he is zochah in those things anyways. So nothing to talk about. Yeah, but what happens when they get divorced? So if she made such a nether and he was never made for the nether, right? Then when they get divorced, what happens? Now things that she does, money that she makes, etc., is going to become automatically usher to him. Why? Because now she would have, what she said now is possible. Right? Because she doesn't have a requirement to provide these things for him anymore. They're not married anymore. So since he left it kind of like hanging around, right? Once she actually get divorced, now all of a sudden it is forbidden to him. Okay. Uvachom ma'isiyadeh. Right? So she becomes usher. So he doesn't just become usher in the money that she makes, but anything that she does with her hands, anything that she does, right? She's going to become forbidden. Migerish and ve'elach from the moment that they get divorced and on. Because savar. Adam osa davar shlo balolam. Okay, this is going to be a very important concept. And this is only true because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds a person can forbid something that's not yet in the world. Right? What hasn't happened yet? If they get divorced 6 months from now, right, and she bakes a casserole, well, that casserole didn't exist. Right? So if I, you might say to me, well, no problem. Yeah, now he's forbidden to that casserole. The answer is, why? When she made the nether, the casserole didn't exist. Why should that be forbidden to him? Right? If you assume Adam Osa Davar Shlo Balolam, the answer is that does work because when she made that statement, it replied to anything that would come in the future. Right? Kigon Ma'asei Yadeh Ashes Sidelasos. Right? Lichashes Tava La'olam Acher Gerushin. Meaning, for example, all things that she would do, things she accomplishes, she creates after the divorce, which again didn't exist yet, but exists now. Even though it never came to his property, right, when it came into the world, to Hamagureshisi, right, because she's divorced. So it's nothing that belongs to him. Right, when it comes into, so now when they, so now let's play it the opposite direction, or not the opposite, let's keep, take the story further. So they got divorced, right, and went ahead. Fine, so now she got divorced, what happens? If you hold Adam Osu Davar Shlo Balolam, when they got divorced, now any new things that she accomplishes, what's going to happen? Become forbidden to him. So now let's try to get now try to get married. So let's see how when they get married. Now anything that she does in the house, right, now, again, when they got divorced, all of a sudden that activated the nether. right, and activate the nether. Now, if she does anything for him, right, it's good. She does laundry. If she does whatever she does, right, becomes forbidden to him. Well, now when they get married again, when she comes back, what are you going to say? The nether doesn't count because she can't do that. Well, I don't know. The nether was activated when they weren't married, right? If the nether was activated and weren't married, and now it's active, how could he possibly be married to this person who can't do anything for him, right? And therefore, because of the concern that basically she can't do anything for him, even things that she's expected to do, now it becomes forbidden for them to get remarried. Okay? So it's not like an isser to be married per se, but that being married would be impossible because of this situation that's not being created. And so for that reason, Yochanan ben Nuri says, "Yafer shem yigarshen aveti yesru olav." He should be mefer while they're still married, because in the event that they would get divorced for a certain amount of time, even for a moment, now all of a sudden it might say they become a suitor to him, and now getting married again is going to be impossible. No, it's actually an interesting question. When he says the language, Yocham Nuri Omer, Yafer Shema Yigrashena Vitihi Asura Alav, I think that means, you can see what the translation is, that she becomes forbidden to him. Is that how they translate it? Yeah. So I'm just saying, it's you could have argued that she's not a suitor to him, but all of her maisei there are a suitor to him, and therefore being married would be really, 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 really difficult. But that's not what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying that it's because she's forbidden to him, that because her maisei there are forbidden to him, the marriage is usur.
Right.
Right. Which I think is an important distinction here. Right. You could have argued that's like a little bit of a jump. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's a scenario where they can be married, but he can't be, get any maaseh there from her. But the answer is no. Once her maaseh there are forbidden to him, it actually makes the marriage forbidden at that point.
And this was a common enough scenario that it warranted mentioning?
As we know, a lot of these cases are not so common necessarily. And all of these are cases that you're not supposed to do.
Right.
As we'll say right up until our 90th daf, we'll say the same thing. These are all cases that you shouldn't have done anyways.
No, I'm talking about the divorce and then remarriage.
That happens. By the way, that still happens today.
Yeah, it still happens today. A much smaller percentage.
It is, but we have to plan for every case. Yeah.
He says it explicitly, what you just said. He says, consequently, you will not be able to remarry her, for it will be impossible for to avoid benefiting from the house.
It's meaning basically creates a scenario that's who are they quoting there? The Farish?
It seems like the. It's a little unclear.
I'll move it around over here.
Yeah. It's in the note, and it doesn't.
No, it's in the round on this. Look, flip over. Yeah, look at.
Yeah,
look
actually, at pay, he quotes around.
Look at Payhem and Base. Look at Payhem and Base. Yeah, yeah, good, because the rounds over on the next staff. Just flip to Payhem and Base, because it says it in here. Over here. This is going to be a little more explicit. It's like 6 or 7 lines down in the skinny lines. See it? This feeling of Yochanan ben Nuri, the Ketana Kama, the Hadafa Nami Dibal. Okay, so he adds one other point. That Yochanan ben Nuri holds that the Hadafa, the extra amount, also belongs to the husband. Hilkach, Yishum Hadafa Ein Tzarech Lafer. So he says, just for the extra, that extra money, that she maybe should make for money, that's not enough for a reason. I mean, what's the machlokas here, right? So the answer is that he doesn't believe, he thinks the extra amount that she makes also goes to him, right? That's the other amount is minimum that she has to make. But if she makes more, that also goes to him. Fine. So Ella, that's not a reason to say he has to do hafara. Ella shemi yagashena v'yehe aneder chal mishe garsha eina mishu bedeslo. Let me say that, right? Because once she gets divorced, she's no longer, Meshubah to him, and whatever she gets, she keeps. But now it would be forbidden for them to get married. Why? Because she forbade herself through her handiwork, right? Right? So meaning all the things that a woman's supposed to do for her husband, she now can't do. It's going to be an impossible situation for the marriage. But the Tanakama disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. First of all, maybe hold that the hafara doesn't work once they get divorced. Maybe the argument Tanakama is, whoa, when she made the neder, this wasn't a, that it was impossible. So you can't have a neder that like hangs out in Shemayim, and then the moment that they get divorced, and now all of a sudden, boom, it comes into play. That doesn't work, right? But the point is, the Ron says explicitly that the isser for them to get remarried is because it'll be impossible for them to avoid the neder. It's not that there's fundamentally the marriage actually is forbidden, right? But it's that practically we wouldn't allow the marriage. I know it's not. The nuance matters, right? That it's not fundamentally usher for them to be married because he can't get it apostles the ability for the marriage. The answer is no. They could technically get married. We won't allow it because if they would get married, it would be impossible for him to avoid violating the isser. Fine, violating the marriage. Fine. Okay, good. And that is the opinion of Rinochin Benuri. Fine. Okay. So now let's look at the Gemara just for just get ourselves ready for Daf for Amun Beis. So Amr Shmuel Halach Yerucham Minur. Okay. So Shmuel says we passing Yerucham Minur that we're nervous about this scenario. She's gonna aser Ma'aseh Yadeha, and it'll be Chal once she gets divorced, and then if they try to get remarried again, it's gonna be a problem. So Shmuel agrees. Yerucham Minur is correct. Says Gemara, Lememra, the Kasavar Shmuel Adam Makdish Davar Shabbat Olam. You're going to tell me that Shmuel holds, again, in order to hold this, from this approach, Yochanan Minuri, you're going to have to agree that Adam, that a person is able to, and our Mishnah was to be Oser, Davar Shabbat Olam, right? To forbid something that has not yet come into the world, right? And that means that in Shmuel's agreement, Yochanan Minuri, so it sounds like he holds. Adam, the language here is makdish tavla shabalolam, because to be makdish is the same thing. To be makdish is to set aside for Beis HaMikdash, which is what konam is. Konam is to make an usher like a korban, right? So basically, you cannot tell me that Shmuel holds Adam makdish tavla shabalolam, or Rimini. I'll bring you a contradiction. Hamakdish ma'isi yadei ishto. If a person would say, the ma'isi yadei of my wife, the man says it, which belonged to him, right? He says, it's hekdish, right? So what's the halacha? Flip the page. Harezu osa ve'ochelas. Right? What happens in that situation? The person can be osa ve'ochelas. Meaning, look at the run. Remini ma'amachish ma'isa today ish tarezu osa ve'ochelas. Third line in the medium size lines. Ika demukmi lava peraka afalpi afila b'mayla la mazonos. Va'afilu hachi harashus biyada levata hakdesho. Varezu osa ve'ochelas. Meaning, even though he goes ahead and he is makdish, right? She can say, "What are you talking about?" Right? Not true. She actually has the ability to say, "No, you can't be makdish. It's still my. I made the money, right?" And she can go ahead and use it and take and eat it, etc. Okay. Midirafuna de Amar Hasam Yachli Chole Isha Lomar Lebayla Any Nizonos for Any Osa. We've mentioned this many times before, right? Woman can say, I'll keep my money, and you keep your money, right? So since she has the power to do that, she can be mevatel his hektish, even be makdish. It's my money. Keep makdish my money. Fine. Umad epaligal edravuna hasam mukil lemasitzim b'she'ein ma'ala lemazonos b'shumachi he also bechal. It's fine. But the bottom line is she's allowed if he makdish her ma'isidea, she can go ahead and say no, and she can continue to eat it. Fine. Rabbi Meir Omer hektish. Rabbi Meir says no. It becomes hektish. He can. It belongs to him, so he's allowed to be makdish. If Yochanan Sanla Omer chulin, Yochanan Sanla says no, it all becomes it becomes chulin if you do that. Look at the Ran. Rabbi Meir Omer hakdish mukila shmua hasam ma'a kesef shetiknu la chachamim tachas moser. Rabbi Meir the Amar hakdish lav mechayim ka Amar the halis lebe. Midi Eli Hektish Lachar Misak Amar Shabbat Zachah Bahu Bahu Moser Midin Yerusha. Who's really Rabbi Meir the other Makdish Davar Shabbat. So Rabbi Meir basically says it becomes Hektish. What Hektish? If she passes away, and after she dies, he can be Makdish it afterwards. After she dies, fine. But why? Because Rabbi Meir holds. What do you mean? After she passes away. So again, it's only going to be his. He only going to have the ability but he's Yorish it becomes his. So then he can go ahead and be makdish, but he holds that. Why? Because he holds that a person is able to be makdish at davar shabbat olam. It wasn't his yet, right? He can makdish it now. For Amar Shmuel, halachim Yochanan Sandler. Right? And who does he hold like Shmuel? He holds like Yochanan Salner, who says Chulin. Right? He says it doesn't work. You can't be makdish this item. Let's take a look at Yochanan ben Salner for 1 second. The second wide line, Yochanan Salner Omer Chulin the Sfirle ain't under makdish Davar Shabbul. He says you can't do that, right? Because it's not yours yet, right? So therefore, so he holds Chulin, and Shmuel says Halacha Yochanan ben Salner. Alma ain't on the Magdash Tavla Shabbal Olam. So it sounds like Shmuel holds ain't on the Magdash Tavla Shabbal Olam. So we're left with this problem, and tomorrow, Rez Hashem, we'll pick it up and figure it out. Okay.